handle the truth. Truth.
Somewhere in Vietnam, a 19-year-old soldier walked out of a barroom. And he said, I must be seeing things. That bourbon hit me like a baseball bat. In Belfast, Ireland, a little lady dropped her shovel in her garden. She raced across the yard and asked her neighbor, Mrs. Clancy, what was that? In Memphis, Tennessee, a teacher raised the window closest to the river. And the children in her classroom swore they heard a choir singing down the street. In Washington, D.C., a private secretary's lips begin to quiver. And the president just put aside his papers and rose quickly to his feet. I lay in a cheap motel in the arms of someone else's woman. When a loud explosion rocked the room and turned the morning into night. I jumped out of bed and ran into the street with hardly any clothes on. As the sky lit up, my heart stood still and I could feel my face was turned white. All at once the clouds rolled back and there stood Jesus Christ in all his glory. And I realized the saddest eyes I had ever seen were looking straight at me. Yes, I was awakened by the penetrating sound of my own screaming. And it didn't take me long to stumble out of bed and fall down on my knees. As tears rolled down my face, I cried, dear God, I'm thankful I was only dreaming. And if I never go to hell, Lord, it'll be because you scared it out of me.
Well, good evening there to our listeners here at Republic Broadcasting Network. This is On Frequency with Keith Rogers in Western Montana. I thought I'd have Ken open the show there with that song there today. There's been a kind of a riff there that's kind of caught the social media storm with Donald Trump's latest statement where he said, in America, we don't worship government, we worship God. I guess that could be translated to gold, oil, and drugs. But not too long ago, ex-President Obama did the same thing before also a plethora of youth talking about their American exceptionalism. And this premise is no different than saying that the actions that the United States does is in behalf of God, yet in fact it's no different than, say, some evil Muslim screaming Allah Akbar for their God. I hear some background noise in there. I'm not sure what it's from, but we are okay on the audio, right, Ken? Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank you. If you usually listen to any of my shows here, I try to open up with a human interest story because, as many know, that I'm into demographics, and basically people everywhere are the same. It's just that we have governments that totally keep us pitted against one another. In today's show, I want to show you about how this pitting is, but I'm going to show you how it's done through debt. I was doing a lot of research, like I hope a lot of other people do. I was looking at the cost of the Obamacare website. It was $1 billion. And then a second report came out that it was going to be over $5 billion in counting for the websites that were associated with it. So, I mean, we're talking money. And that's one thing most Americans really don't have here. Even the IMF has basically said that in the financial situation that most American households are about $400 from a collapse. And that could be getting your tires slashed or something like that. You couldn't pay for it. Just small engine breakdown, a refrigerator go out, whatever like that. Most Americans can't pay for it. But so if you hear in America, personally, you might want to think why a nation that worships God would have nearly 350,000 churches of different denominations, of course, and nearly 4 million homeless. This is on top of the sad story of as I said before here, all the veterans, the 307,000 veterans that have died that have been lured into these wars, allegedly fighting for this country, where in fact they were fighting for corporate America. Daily on TV, if you watch TV, you can pick out the commercials that also support these causes. My favorite one running right now is this one about these small children down in some Asian country using sharp knives, child labor, cutting all this sugar cane. And I thought, well, instead of sending this firm money, just find out who the sugar company is and boycott them. Put them out of business. Using child labor, well, get rid of them like that. I will digress, though, because one of my favorites, so out of all the commercials I see on TV, and I don't watch that much TV, though, is there's one from a Israeli rabbi who's over there in Israel lamenting about the fact of the poor, starving Jewish people. And mostly in the screen, it's all depicted as these elderly Jews and stuff. And you know, that's fine. Everyone has a cause. We have starving here in America, too. But again, demographically speaking, Israel gets over $50 billion a year from the United States, from its own GDP, and then from the United States and others, tens of millions of more, especially $3.4 billion from the United States additionally. Of course, that keeps their government running. You wonder why all that isn't filtering down to the poor Israelis. Israel has a demographics of about 8 million people. Of course, about 6 million live in the area there. There's a lot of dual citizenship, and most fly in and out of there quite a bit there. But this leads us to an area where everyone always wants money somewhere, and they keep picking on the population of local countries to help support whatever it is. So I was going to take you down a rabbit hole, or I could say here in America it could be a pothole that everyone's going to hit. And of course, you might get a bent rim from this because it's America. And if people want to accept this pluralism of saying my country, we, our military and stuff, you're going to be looking at, you're going to have to assume some of the responsibility for it. Across this country, this nation here, we have roads that are in ill repair or should actually be replaced. The bridges that have or are already collapsing or about to. The dams that are crumbling, trillions are spent on nation building in other countries, much of which can't be accounted for in the first place. And my premise of today's show was, again, human interest, because I care about people. I don't care what denomination, gender, or whatever else that people are. When I first heard President Trump was going to run and I thought change was coming to America, I had tried to get a hold of him several times there, and I couldn't. But I finally got a hold of Trump Towers, and I talked to his really nice secretary. It was about a 25-minute call. And in that, I had explained the process of how I knew and I believe that tens of thousands of jobs could be created. And these were real jobs, too. And that they would actually benefit the people in more ways than one in the long term. And as most of you know, I'm from Las Vegas, and so I'm pretty familiar with the geography around there. But although I will admit I was conceived in Montana, perhaps it was a fresh well water that brought me back here. But anyway, I went on to relate to his secretary about the pictures of Lake Mead that shows that Lake Mead is at its lowest ever. And, of course, Lake Mead is the power hub for Hoover Dam that generates most of the power for all of Southern California. And with the immigrants and other agriculture needs and stuff like that, a lot of Hoover Dam's generating has been to suck all that water back down through that dam, through the hydroelectric, and send it to generate power for California. But in stopping there for a second, let's go back to the same time period of history here where I'm going to tie this in. In 2011, Libya, which most people don't realize is when the United States and NATO had launched their attack on Gaddafi, and there was a project there called the GMR Water Project, and I would encourage listeners to look this up because it's really fascinating. It's where 22-foot-wide tubes were supplying the whole of North Africa with fresh water. I mean, who would believe that, you know, corporate banking would step in to make sure that a people who would become self-sufficient and be able to irrigate their land and everything would be something drastic there. You could know, I mean, what are you going to do? End all the commercials on TV about the starving Africans? I mean, the list just goes on about how people are sucked into this stuff. And on the same note, I have a friend that is over in Africa there, and he'd sent me a picture on email once, and it was a picture of a box of cereal. And on it, it gave the ingredients of the cereal. And he said, "Do you notice anything difference between your cereal?" And I actually had to go downstairs and look at one, and there was a difference. None of it was fortified with minerals and vitamins that they received. It was just plain, bland grain stuff, you know. And, of course, that kind of brings me back to Bill Gates and his vaccines are a way to depopulate people. But anyway, back to my job creations. I guess here in Montana we have more time to think about things, sit back, look at nature, human events, whatever. And the fact that this AM I took a picture of a beautiful black bear walking down there just offside the road there, and I hadn't been home less than an hour and found out somebody had shot the thing, you know. But you know, like a traffic jam in Montana is usually a herd of elk crossing the road. But anyway, after this same time period of 2011, I started thinking about this, and this leads up to President Trump. We had some massive flooding all through the Pacific, well, not Pacific, but the actual Northwest area up here through North Dakota, down through Wyoming, down into Missouri, down in the Mississippi, and then which would also continue into the Gulf. And this brought me back to thinking about, well, if Gaddafi could do this, why can't the United States? And so I started looking on Google Maps, looking for best directions and routes and stuff like that to build a pipeline from the areas up there near Roundup and up in the North Dakota area where these big dams were that were holding back all this water that could have been diverted and also routed along most public access, you know, like highways, everything like that, just a pipe run alongside the road. And the only issue I really would think would be that maybe down in the Sioux reservation down there at the headwaters of the Colorado would be any easements and stuff that the U.S. government would have to do to secure permission to run the water line, not oil line, but water line across the Sioux Nation there. And I thought it was a doable project. And the pipeline itself could bring fresh water along those right-of-ways. There could also be fish screens and stuff in there to protect the indigenous populations of fish. And, of course, that would also mean more jobs. And I was thinking of the amount of labor or laborers, like concrete workers, excavation, electrical, steelworks, perhaps even ponds might be needed. And, then, of course, there'd be lift stations and such because, as you know, the area in this area is mostly rugged mountain stuff. But, like, again, I say my idea was that for water, a most precious resource that we could have. And this leads into something else that happened that year also, because with this, all I have to say is Hurricane Katrina, and everyone knows what happened during the Hurricane Katrina there with the levees breaking and everything. But imagine, though, if a guy was to sit there and build our infrastructure up to the point where we could be self-sufficient and also save. And, of course, I'll recap the 2011 floods for you. And this is what was in 2011 where the Missouri River had flooded. And the events on the Missouri River in the United States, the flooding was triggered by record snowfall in the Rocky Mountain states. That's Montana and Wyoming. As well as a Canadian melt that comes down to this area, too. All six major dams along the Missouri River released record amounts of water to prevent overflow, which led to the flooding of several towns and cities along the river from Montana to Missouri, and in particular Bismarck, North Dakota, Pierre, South Dakota, the Dakota Dunes, South Dakota, South Sioux City, Nebraska, Sioux City, Iowa. The list goes on. Anyway, and on down into Missouri and everything. As well as putting a lot of towns at risk. But what's noted, though, is that in attempt to control the floodwater release, and since all reservoirs were at 100% capacity or more, the government is the one that released this. And they're the ones that caused the flooding. The total for the entire 2000-year damage was over $8.41 billion. The flooding from the northern end on this side here was just a little bit shy of that, get my page over here, to where it was $3.4 billion. And, of course, you have to realize a lot of these people that didn't live in these floodplains because the river had never flooded in those certain areas didn't have the flood insurance. But this was a boom for the corporate America again and its banking system. For the loans would be an issue with interest, the deaths, the funerals, replacement of cars, the farming implements and all this, this would be great. So, hey, it's great for America. And then, of course, from that, we had the Gulf of Mexico predicted as a dead zone. And why was that? Well, because the Gulf of Mexico, you had all of this runoffs from all these fields of the pesticides, fertilizers, all going down into the Missouri River from there, all down into the Mississippi, and then down into the Gulf. And, of course, the devastation that would be caused later. And that's where I want to get to you today. Debt is one thing that people keep getting told that we have to assume, our national debt, plural. And, of course, when you sit there and you start looking at what debt is and why this country isn't moving forward, it's because they're too busy nation building or bombing and then nation building other countries. And I was looking up some headlines here. I don't know if this is one of the reasons why Jason Chaffetz had stepped down, but in a few of his YouTube videos, he finds out that the DEA paid $854,000 to criminal informants. Well, that's a lot of money. And then you find out that the $20 million was spent on firewood over in Afghanistan. And I was thinking, firewood in Afghanistan, why don't they just tap the oil lines? I mean, they've got oil furnaces and everything. Another $75,000 were spent on 25 bicycles from the GSA. And, of course, now we have the United States Congress approves the funding and arming of the rebels over there in Syria. $500 million. That's a $500 million. And, of course, later we find out that another U.S. aid package to go over there and help those poor people was almost $200 million more. Not only that, but add to the cost of what a Hellfire missile costs from these drones and what it costs to replace them. It reminds me of Brzezinski, which we highlighted here last week here, where he's quoted as saying the Muslim terrorist apparatus was created by the U.S. intelligence as a geopolitical weapon. And that was out of the French newspaper there. And back again, the U.S. was sending $195 million more in aid to Syria. There you go. But anyway, it's always that Americans have no money here, but it's always good to send it somewhere else. And then there's a nice video out there about the $9 million missing from the Federal Reserve. I was going to have Ken play that, but it was kind of long there. But $9 trillion. Thanks for correcting me. Yeah, $9 trillion missing from the Federal Reserve. And this is what they call banker bailouts. And of course, they've changed all the bankruptcy laws so that people here can't, if they default on something, they can't bail themselves out. There's all partial things where bankers get these massive bailouts. And of course, when asked where the money went, the chairman of this board says, well, we don't know. Well, is there an active investigation? Well, we don't call it an investigation. They just keep skipping around the pond all the time. And Americans are not getting their answer. Anyway, the New York Federal Reserve also shipped $40 billion in cash to Iraq. You know, this is all charged off to the American people. We have a break coming up here soon. But anyway, that time period was between 2000 and 2008. And we see all the economy specialists right now that are saying that June 21st it might be the time. And now they're saying that even closer to that, that we're headed towards a recession. And you can read that article. Anyway, we have a break coming up here. This is On Frequency with Keith Rogers on Republic Broadcasting Network. You might want to call in if you want to talk. It's 1-800-313-9433.
A 12-acre farm on a ridge in South Tennessee. We left our sweat all over that land behind a mule we watched grow old, row after row, trying to grow corn and cotton on ground support, the grass won't grow.
There was one old store.
Regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting Truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Look, it's tall.
That's fine. All right. Ken's having one of those moments down there. Anyway, welcome back to Republic Broadcasting Network. This is On Frequency with Keith Rogers here in Western Montana. Anyway, we are constantly being sold that how we have to keep supporting this financial system. And, of course, we all know it's bogus due to Article 1, Section 8. And this Federal Reserve is the one that sets the monetary policy for the United States, whereas before the U.S. government was able to set its own currency and values. And I was thinking, even as I was talking earlier there, that a no-no for Donald Trump would have been was to create a secondary currency, much like JFK would have done, to finance, say, this water line from the North Dakota areas down into the headwaters of Colorado. And but you know, they continue to sell us all these wars, and that we have to keep supporting these issues, just like the opening song there, where Americans don't worship government, they worship God. Well, if that's true, I was thinking of putting a meme there with Donald Trump's tweet underneath it, with Jesus holding his hands out. and then asking, who do I bomb next? Christians do not go out and bomb people, nor do worshipers of God, you know. Okay. Ken, before I take Carl's call there, did you get that little clip there from the Federal Reserve running there for me? Okay, well, then I'll tell you what. Go ahead and put Carl on there, and we'll talk to Carl there for a second. Hello, Carl.
How you doing, Keith?
Pretty good. Which Carl is this?
Carl Schwartz. How are you?
Oh, okay, Carl. Yeah, he has it's C-A-R-L, and I knew the other Carl was K-A-R-L. How you doing up there? Are you in Prague today? Or?
Yeah, in Prague. Mm-hmm. I have to go to a city south of here early this morning, so I'm up anyway.
Yeah. Hey, Carl, you know about how this corruption has been going here for years, since you were so tied in with the Bush administration.
Corruption is a mild word.
Can I quote you with that?
My step-uncle was Wilbur D. Mills, former chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. I'll never forget what he said when he came home for Christmas 1968. He said, any American that thinks they have well-intentioned elected and appointed officials that care how they spend or waste the U.S. tax dollars is a consummate fool. And I've been watching this get worse and worse ever since he said that. This was Christmas Day, 1968. And he was just talking in generalities. He said, you know, it doesn't matter who the president is. A president could slash and burn through the U.S. federal budget for 4 years and not hit anything that was vital. Mm-hmm. So they're just printing money and wasting it on anything they can dream up. And, I've been watching this. This hole has been getting deeper and deeper, really bad, since Jimmy Carter was president and then Reagan got stuck with the 21% interest rates. And it all just tilted over. I mean, I fought it from 1980 forward until, you know, you just finally just throw in the towel and say, you know what, this is like trying to stop a hurricane.
Yeah, I noticed things from that same. Well, it's like Smedley Butler. I did some figuring once, Carl. There, they had released the cost of one of these aircraft carriers at like $3.4 billion, and so I did some research on what it would take to build a modern school. Over 110 modern schools could be built with the cost of one aircraft carrier.
True.
And then look at the education in America. You know.
Or medical clinics, you know, where they're needed. You know, when China stepped into the Congo, they spent about $9.5 billion, and what they wanted was there's two large natural resource mines there. They had to build, I think it was 900 and some odd miles of rail, like 1,100 miles of roads, but they added into this universities, schools, and medical centers spread out in the right places where people could get adequate service. And they've had zero problems in the Congo.
Hey,
and the reason,
I have a break coming up here, Carl. I think so. I hear something in the background. But anyway, do you know anything about the shadow cities over there in Africa there that China's built?
No, I've heard about them, but I haven't read anything or seen any photographs of them.
All right, sounds good. Hey, we'll be right back. If you want to hang on the phone there, we'll be right back. Okay, there, we'll be right back.
Okay.
His little loss.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite. A garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
828-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Dirt was clay and was the color of the blood in me.
Welcome back. This is On Frequency with Keith Rogers, Republic Broadcasting Network. A little bit of George Jones there. We were talking to Carl over there in Prague there, across the pond. Carl, hey, I had mentioned there these ghost cities that are already pre-built over there. But I want to go back to you yourself. You've written many, many good articles there that are posted on Rents.com. And can I ask, Carl, what actually, other than seeing the other things in the world, what actually woke you up to the fact that this country was really spiraling?
Sure. In the early 80s, I was doing workouts with Prudential-based capital markets. I had very good connections on Wall Street. My sister was married to a guy that used to be called Bass, Halsey, Stewart, and Shields. They bought the Shields part. That's the pension fund management, because they made them split, due to ERISA. So, had the connections, but I was watching how much fraud was going on in everything. I mean, it was unreal. It was like the back door was always wide open for somebody to come in and steal your dinner from.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Reagan passed the TEFRA bill, TEFRA Tax Act, 1984, it tanked a lot of banks. It tanked most of the big S&Ls in America. Had to do that bailout. And then I got up into the Clinton administration, dot-coms, telecoms. And there were some things about the Clinton admin that people weren't aware of. They did three things. It was literally just despicable. They changed the the SEC mandatory statement, the disclaimer statement that you see on statements coming from corporations as to whether or not to buy their stock. Well, literally, you could commit an act of fraud, but as long as you put that disclaimer statement in there, the board and the officers were held harmless. That had to be covered by the D&O insurance, as they call it, and that turned into a huge racket. A attacking the pension funds and using that as leverage as buyouts. Michael Milken taught them that. Clinton threw the door wide open on that one, to where the pension fund guarantee board was like, you know, $94 billion in the hole. But then they changed a little thing called RICO, the civil part of RICO, where somebody could sue, win, get treble damages, you know, punish the bad guy for what he did. But they changed it to where you cannot use civil RICO in stock and bond cases. That's what created this entire, you know, free bankruptcy. Oh, your company just went bankrupt. Well, we'll represent you free of charge. And what they don't tell you is they're going after the insurers that issued the directors and officers policy. The same insurers are involved in the venture capital side of it. They made a killing when the company went public, and they basically stash it, and then they turn right around and pay back a little bit of it, and they keep the difference. The difference is about 95 to 96%. So they've created, it's like a, they've created like a rigged casino to where from the front to the tail end, they win, and the people who invested to build the company get crucified.
Right. Would you say that also has led to this massive offshore banking fraud that we see today, too, whether it's in England or the United States or even the Clinton Foundation or any of these other foundations?
Exactly. That was the first step. And it's just they're all, I don't know what it is. You know, I'm making good money. I've got a lot that's getting ready to happen good in my life. But you have to ask yourself sometimes, how much is enough? You know, where does the greed cap and, you know, you retire, get out of everybody's way? And what it is now, it is greed on steroids. You know, everybody wants to die with the most toys.
Well, yeah, but Carl, you'll notice that, was it Texas and I think Pennsylvania, where you have entire police departments that are quitting because of their pensions and trying to get out now to get something out?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you look across the United States, you know, you hear about the bankruptcy of Detroit. You hear about the bankruptcy out in Stockton, California.
Or Solyndra. Yeah, Solyndra. And the list goes on, yeah.
But, well, listen, what's been reported is just the tip of the iceberg. If you dig down at how many municipalities and counties and even states, you know, are fundamentally bankrupt. And some of them have already filed for bankruptcy reorganization.
The ones can't pay their lottery winners.
Yeah, they can't pay their lottery winners. they can't pay the streets. Stockton, California was unreal because, you know, relatively small town, but they were just printing paper and just handing out money like, you know, like crack cocaine candy.
Right.
And when they failed and they filed the bankruptcy, it was the biggest bankruptcy. It was even bigger than Detroit in certain ways. And nobody even heard of it. You know, everybody heard about Detroit because that's the home of, you know, GM, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it has turned into just a criminal system. I've been telling people for years, do a little research on the decline of RICO lawsuits. You know, I'm talking about criminal racketeering brought by the Department of Justice, mm-hmm. or, you know, civil RICO cases. It has been a constantly downward trend since George Herbert Walker Bush administration. And fundamentally, the reality of why, you now have criminal elements in all of the bigs, big oil, big banks, big pharma, big defense. You know, basically legitimizing their, you know, their pelf and their profits that they gained illegally, but now they're routing it through the system.
Yeah,
I guess you saw the post I did on Twitter about that banker bank sell-up in northern Italy. I have a friend. He's already served four banks. The matter's in the courts right now, also being criminal investigation by the Italian authorities. When he served the fifth bank notice, That bank CEO was dead that day, and the police have not said, oh, this was a suicide.
Yeah.
Once they got into the books and they saw what that bank was doing, it was like, oh, my God. And, you know, they think as soon as he got served, he got caught, you know, somebody got rid of him. And this same friend of mine showed the Vatican how to find over $300 billion. And there was just a little bitty blurb over here in Europe. It probably wasn't even reported in the U.S. Just a little bit of news said, oh, the Vatican has recovered $320 billion. You know, it was about like a one-paragraph, you know, news item.
All right. Hey, Carl, hang on one second, Carl, before I run out of time here. I want to have Ken go ahead and play this audio clip here for me. Go ahead, Ken.
I apply it. I have the ideology because I believe that it is the best way of coming at the world and what type of policy.
What is the proper relationship, what should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take. So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter. And I've had very...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Carl... Oh, I'm sorry. I heard Ken there, too. Yeah, Carl, we can see that this is our actual problem here in the United States here, is that we have a Federal Reserve which is above the law and can... And I like that word he uses. That was Alan Greenspan there. The word policy, which is a policing... And of course, this is the same thing with the IMF. And, you know, if they want money or to attain money, they will bomb who they want. And they just use these, like I say, even the president is powerless until Congress revokes that right, which they have the power to do.
They do have the power to revoke it, and it should have been done a long time ago. You know, every time somebody starts threatening to audit the Fed, you know, they get very vicious towards other people. You know,
right
the
back to that Jason Chaffetz. Remember Jason Chaffetz? He was all on board with this, and suddenly now he's stepping down, and he says, we will audit the Fed. And, of course, where's he gone now?
Yeah, he's decided he's going to go back into the private sector.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is it's like cancer, and now it's metastasized. You know, it's hitting different parts of our government, our economy. I was listening to what you were saying about the infrastructure. U.S. infrastructure is pathetic. You know, it truly is. I couldn't believe some of the things that I had to drive like up into, you know, all parts of the U.S., 37 states, and there were places where you could almost lose a Suburban. You know, it was unreal how bad the road was.
Yeah,
America needs to focus on. America needs to focus on itself and leave everybody else alone. Yeah,
well,
I see it all the time.
Just think of the nation building, Carl. If the trillions of dollars, well, just put it this way, the Pentagon has lost trillions of dollars it's unaccounted for. Maybe it's in these dumb things, these deep underground military bases. Who knows? A lot of people want to speculate, oh, it's down in the Antarctic down there. You know, but the point is all that money, if it was invested in the United States, would have created millions and millions of jobs. It would have rebuilt our infrastructure, the roads, highways, whatever, you know. And none of that's getting done, and it's getting worse. And to hide that,
yeah, I know.
Like the homeless and stuff, they're actually they'll spend money to put spikes underneath bridges and stuff to keep the homeless from sleeping there because they don't want people to see the dying infrastructure.
Yeah,
other than the potholes you hit, you know.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what this person said. You know, in places like it, in certain parts of Europe, they put these funny little things, little wires that stick up so pigeons can't land there and crap on
right.
everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I can't remember this German comedian exactly what he called what you just described, you know, just to keep people from, you know, sleeping under the bridge. I'll see if I can find that and I'll send it to you.
Yeah, we have them here in Montana, except it's for eagles and stuff, you know, so they don't build nest up on our power lines and short the whole thing out, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, my best to you and everything over there in Prague there, okay? And it's always good talking to you on Twitter there, too.
Yeah, I start traveling in about 12 days, almost 60 days of business travel. I'll be in three different continents, so I'm kind of bracing myself
Carl,
for that.
Before you go, Carl, do you want to plug one of your best titles that are on rents?
One of my best titles?
One of your things that you've written on Jeff Rents.
Oh, well, if you like humor, the last article I wrote about the Georgia 2008 fiasco was Bush Plots His Revenge.
Yeah, that
I couldn't resist writing that one after I stopped him.
Yeah,
and,
well, that's like the whole hotel. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then the other one, I've had a lot of people read it, and they've emailed and asked questions. World's foremost terrorist, U.S. government. That one has woken up a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, it's like, what's that saying? You can't have a war on a noun because it takes action for that, you know?
Very true.
Anyway, my best you over there in Prague, okay?
All right. I'm going to get about 3 hours sleep and go to it.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, take care.
All right, welcome back to Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Keith Rogers over here in Western Montana. You know, Carl is an ex-resident here of Montana, too, and we got talking there on Twitter. And like I say, demographically, it's the same thing. You can be over there in Prague, or you can be with my friends over there in Switzerland. They all see the whole system's crumbling. And, of course, the government's theory for everything is, well, just put austerity on everyone. You know, bail out more banks. Make the people suffer, drop the minimum wage down, bring immigrants in, and then demand that the minimum wage goes down further because they don't want to pay anyone. And, of course, this strips people of their benefits. Like I remember back in the 70s, strong unions, full health care, medical, dental. Some probably needed mental, too. But we had full 40 hours a week. We had over time and a half overpay for working overtime. And nowadays, people are on these stupid call jobs to where once the employer calls, you got to drop what you're doing. If you don't, you get fired. Or that George Bush video where he's talking to that elderly woman, and she says, well, I work three jobs. And Bush says, well, that's really American of you. And I was thinking, an elderly woman like that should not be working three jobs. And this is how pathetic it is. And people just accept this as the norm. And when you've got children out there that are trying to make a living, driving a pizza car, delivering pizza is supposed to be good money, working at a fast food restaurant, which now you notice are all starting to go robotic, all animated. And as I mentioned before, in the toy stores like that, you walk in, and the toys are all being built like they're push button and pull levers, you know, like they're just training people for service jobs. There's no big infrastructure thing here. Yeah, there you go. Ken's getting my idea, too. But anyway, it's time that Americans woke up to what's actually going on. And that's why I told John Stadtmiller there that I'm not anti-American. I'm a realist. I see what's going on, and I realize that things could change. And even within the political party, which I'm not a part of, people have all this hope. With Obama, it was hope and change. And now with Trump, it was make America great again. And each time, Obama got in there and the hope and change fizzled down the drain. And that probably stopped the drain. So we have the swamp now, a total swamp. And then we have Trump out there making all these promises to make America great again. And, of course, suddenly all the 180s are being done, reversing what he said was going to be policy. And, of course, we know who's thwarting this because he appointed all these Goldman Sachs bigwigs to his cabinet. as well as a couple other Zionist-type neocons that are in there for wars. And that's all they're talking about is war. Doesn't matter whether it's right now, it's Qatar. And, of course, if you know anything about the history of Qatar, that was where they were going to run that pipeline all up through that LP pipeline all up there through Iraq and Syria. And then I would assume it would probably hook up somewhere with the Golan Heights with Israel's oil and probably the LP gas line off of the Gaza coast there in the Leviathan oil field and bypass Russia totally by selling the gas and oil needed for Europe and this total sanctions on Russia. And, you know, on human interest, a guy really has to look at what that is. The sanctions the United States placed on Iraq that killed 500,000 children, which Madeleine Albright said the price was worth it. We have the sanctions on Venezuela where people are down there eating their cats and stuff, and the inflation is so high. We have Russia succumbing, not succumbing to the sanctions on the U.S. has actually helped Russia out because, again, building the BRICS union, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, they're separate global currency. This is like Mike Rivero has that nice little meme there where it says, this is your enemies, and it shows a Chinese yuan and the Russian ruble, you know. These are the enemies, and so they must be attacked because this is the empire, and the only way to keep this empire going is constant war. Billions and billions, if not trillions, are all to these great Northrop drumming and all this stuff, war industry, just like when they announced that they fired off these missiles over to Syria. And they says, well, it was $80 million worth of missiles. Ah, but to replace those missiles, it's kind of like Iraq where they had the cost plus, where you could actually watch bulldozers with all the computer networking stuff all being dozed into a massive hole and then to be replaced at a cost plus. And I was thinking, gee, well, how many schools could have used those old computers? They could have wiped the drives on them and went from there, you know. But we're in this throwaway society, and the government does it too. Anyway, we have a break coming up here. Anyway, this is On Frequency with Keith Rogers on Republic Broadcasting Network, 1-800-313-9444.
You don't know who I am.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
If you want your frustrations, you got some things that you need to say. There's a place where people always listen. Go on, dial it up today. Talk radio.
Well, welcome back to Republic Broadcasting Network. This is On Frequency with Keith Rogers. Anyway, with all this deception, like with Carl over there in Prague that I was just talking to there, this government, as well as other people's governments, have to sell you some kind of propaganda to be able to keep this agenda going. And I had sent Carl a photo there. You can look at the Muslims that, well, actually demographic, 10% of Syria is Christian. But anyway, you can look at the other 90% of the Muslims there. They're not wearing these hijabs and burqas all through Syria. And yet we are presented with this immigration as all being these poor, poor, usually denoted as pregnant Syrians that are all coming in here. And yet, as that one video with Paul Joseph Watson showed, that these are not Syrians whatsoever. These are being directly led up out of Libya, met by Italian boats, all done by satellite tracking. And they're flooding Europe. And, of course, in from Europe, they're being dispersed all over the area there. And, of course, we're seeing the massive rapes and everything like that. And Ken, if you want to get that other one going there for me. Okay. But I think we're being set up. And I say that for a reason. They want us to war with each other to invoke, like over in Britain right now, more martial law, more stripping of people's privacy, their freedoms, and so on. Whenever you want to go ahead and play that, Ken, if you have it.
News cycle has people focused on Bill Maher's N-word.
It's a Nebraska mark. You're welcome. We'd love to have you work in the fields with us.
No.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sheriff Wayne Ivey, and you're on scene with the Brevard County Sheriff's Office. Like each of you, I am sickened and deeply concerned about the cowardly attacks that are taking place around the world. Attacks where defenseless citizens are being murdered and critically injured. Terrorists and active shooters are using every weapon available to target citizens. Guns, knives, trucks, hammers, and even explosives have all become the weapon of choice for murderers who only have one goal, killing innocent and law-abiding citizens. It seems that almost every day we hear of another attack taking place at a concert, tourist destination, church, business, or anywhere else in the world where they can strike fear in the hearts of citizens. Folks, now more than ever is the time for our citizens to be prepared to serve as the first line of defense, not only for them, but for their families when the attack happens. And let me be perfectly clear, doing nothing or just hoping it won't happen to you is not going to save your life. For those who think that it can't or won't happen here, trust me when I tell you that it's already happening all around us. And the only thing left to question is when and where it will happen again and how many more innocent lives will be lost. As everyone knows, I am probably one of the most politically incorrect sheriffs in the country. And to be honest, I'm good with that. What I'm not good with is sitting back, waiting on the emergency to happen. Or even worse, sitting back and saying, it won't happen here, or it won't happen to me. Preparing Americans to protect themselves is a conversation we need to have right now. And giving our citizens the ability to survive a violent attack is not only politically correct, it's the absolute best way we can help protect those we took an oath to protect.
All right, thanks, Ken. This is Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back after a minute.
Turn it on, turn it up the loudest it'll go. Talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up the loudest it'll go.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party property, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting.